that? Can you hear me? Is it coming through? It's all right. Testing, testing. Those in the back? Okay. Okay, well, I decided to do the teaching tonight with my clothing on. Even though, according to Corden, it would be perfectly fine for me to deliver this nude, right? Okay. Bringing some new things to our ears on Sunday. All right. Well, sometimes what I do, and Timothy asks me to teach in his absence, is ask somebody what they'd like to hear or what they would like me to teach on. And so we're going to be in 1 Peter tonight, and you can turn there. Everything, all the scripture that comes from 1 Peter tonight is, I'm going to be reading from the LMT. But we'll be hopping around outside of 1 Peter, and I'll be using the New King James for those. Okay. In 1 Peter, and we're going to begin right at the beginning. At chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to sojourners of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in holiness of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to see Your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us understanding to understand Him, to make the connection that we would really see and understand the man and grow in our relationship to a man and not just increase in knowledge, but that we would get to know Jesus Christ better, who is the Word of life, who is the bread of life, who is Your logos to us, Your communication to us. Help me to speak it and use me in the way that You would want to. And may this glorify You. Both those who hear with the blood-tipped right ear and me who does the speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Peter, the author, is Peter. This is the Peter who spent years in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Peter who we get to see fail and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Peter, the Peter who is first a disciple, which is follower or student of Jesus Christ, and then later an apostle, and even the leader of the apostles. Okay? So this is the Peter who logged years in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing to Jews in these five regions, which we'll see in a little bit. There's a difference between an apostle and a disciple. An apostle, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, an apostle is sent by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, being an apostle depends on the will of God. In Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Apostle literally means sent one, and he is a Christian commissioner. He's commissioned by God or by Christ. A disciple, Christ had many disciples when he was on the earth in the days of his flesh. But only a few of those became apostles. The determination to be a disciple, on the other hand, or a follower, or a student of Christ, depends on the will of the individual. Each believer has the option to determine whether they want to be a student or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 11, in verses 28 and 29, and this is a different context, but I'm only going to read that these couple verses, and the principle is good. Actually, I'm just going to read verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And so, once God gives a calling, once God gives a gift, it's irrevocable. Or in other words, it cannot be revoked or changed. So once one is an apostle, he can't remove himself from that. Once one is given a gift from God, one can't remove that gift from himself. Discipleship is a determination that's up to each individual. Apostleship is not. The gifts that are from God are grace works that He bestows to each individual. These are not based on merit. They're not earned, and they're not deserved. These are given by God, and because they're not earned, they can't be unearned or given back to God or forfeited. On the other side, you've got natural giftings, which these are things that can be learned or practiced. And while every good thing comes from above and every good gift comes from above, and if you have a talent such as you are artistic, or you are good at sports, or you are good, you have a good memory. These are things that are partly passed on genetically to you. And so while you can thank God, you can also thank mom and dad. These things that are natural propensities can be used to glorify God, right? If I'm good at something, I can still use that as a platform to serve and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of this guy this brother, Eric Liddell, spelled L-I-D-D-E-L-L. And he was known as the Flying Scotsman. Anybody heard of him before? This is the guy that the movie Chariots of Fire was made about his life. He was born to missionary parents in North China, but they were from Scotland. The family was originally from Scotland. At age six, his parents sent his brother was older, but they sent them away to boarding school where they lived and grew up, and it was a college. I can't remember the name of that one. But then he went on to Oxford College, and he was known for his feats of athleticism, particularly his speed. And the newspapers at that time were reporting about these things that he was doing. He was setting records in his college days, and there was a buzz about the upcoming Olympic Games and that he was a hopeful for these games. So he was a believer. He was a strong believer. He belonged to this evangelical club. And what they would do, 8 or 10 guys would go out to a local town or village, and they would say, "Eric Liddell is coming to speak to you." And he would go out, speak to them, and he was well known. He was a celebrity at that time for a young man. I think he was 18. And he would preach the gospel. He would take the opportunity that being involved and successful in sports afforded him to glorify God and preach the gospel and use that as a platform. Now, you could do that with anything. It's not limited to sports. You could do that with whatever you're good in, whatever your natural gift is. Now everyone has a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts would be things like mercy, faith, healings. These are from the scripture, a list in the scripture. Discerning of spirits, a word of wisdom, love, etc. These things are given by God, enabled by God. Or in other words, the power to use them also comes from God. And these are for the building up of the church. The spiritual gifts were given by God so that we would be able to edify one another. All right, Peter, an apostle, and his apostleship is of Jesus Christ. Or he was sent out by Jesus Christ. Let's look at that passage. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. So, calls these disciples in, and this is the transition point, right? This is when most of the apostles were, not all, were selected. Right here. So he stays up all night. He prays. Sun comes up. Calls his disciples in. And then from among the disciples, he begins to name apostles. Simon, who he names Peter. Andrew. James. John. Philip. Bartholomew. Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, called the Zealot, Judas of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So he picks these guys. These guys make the crossover from disciple to apostle. And then in Matthew chapter 16, and verse 13, he names Peter as the leader of the church. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." All right, so he names Peter an apostle, and then even more, the one that he would build his church around. Okay, continuing, verse 1. To sojourners of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Sojourners. This is also translated in other places, pilgrims, strangers, or foreigners. And it just means one who journeys in a foreign land. And so he's addressing these Jews, because he is writing to Jews, as sojourners. So in other words, this is not your home. You're just passing through, as they say. You're in a foreign place. This is not where you belong. And it's a brief trip. It's a brief stay. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. So no continuing city. There's no city here that we could grab onto and say, this is going to be here forever. There's nothing on this earth that we can hold on to and say, I think I'll just set up my home here because I'll be here forever. I think I'll just put down roots here. There's nothing like that here. There's no continuing city. There's no city that's going to abide. Everything that's around us is going to change. It's not going to be like it is. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want us to be comfortable here. It shouldn't feel like home here. It should be uncomfortable. We are different. We're not the world. We're not of the world. We're not part. We don't partake with the world in what the world is doing. We know our ABCs, right? There's no place where we pick and say, this is our home. I'm putting down roots. This will be here forever. I can count on it. This isn't our home. I went to my mom's, I don't know, maybe six or eight weeks ago to just help her out around the house. And there was a lot to do, so we decided to stay overnight there at my mom's, right? No problem. So when I packed to go to my mom's, and I think actually my wife packed most of my stuff, I didn't take my bed. I didn't take my dresser. I didn't take my blender for my nightly smoothie, you know, that I make and all its ingredients. You just take the things that, I just took the things that I needed for that short time while I was there. And I was, we worked there the first day, and I actually had, you know, it was like, you're there, and your mom's there, and I had another guy helping us, Dave, and we were done working for the day. My mom made us some food. We talked to my mom. We were all tired. Dave goes to bed. My mom goes to bed. And it was like, what am I going to do with myself with this time that I have? And I read the scripture that night. And then I got up in the morning. And no one else had, I wake up early. No one else was up. And I read the scripture again in the morning. I had, and okay, I have family obligations at home, and those take time, right? So it's not normally like this at home. But what I also didn't have were all the added things that I built into my life that make it difficult for me to have free time like that to sit down and read the scripture. And I'm putting these things together like I'm traveling light, right? I just brought the things that I needed to be here. I lacked nothing. I had everything I need. I left all that other stuff behind at home, and I'm also amazingly free. And I was and it prompted me to think about what I could rid my life of to free myself up more to do the things that really matter in this life, because I am a sojourner. I am a pilgrim. I should be just be thinking, I'm just going to take what I need for now, because it's a temporary stay. It's a short stay. And that's going to free me up to worship, serve, fellowship around the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are just strangers here. We're pilgrims. This is a theme in 1 Peter. Let's look at a couple other verses. This idea of the temporal space, the temporal period that we're here on the earth, short amount of time. Peter's reminding his readers about this. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, so just skipping down a few verses, therefore, having girded up the loins of your mind, I love this concept. It's like, take the slack out. Like, bind up the slack that's in your mind. Like, get control of your thoughts. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Like, gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready to run in your mind. Get ready to focus. Draw down. Being sober, fully expect the grace having been born to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when He comes back. But revelation, I was thinking about revelation. Brad Hogue used to say, revelation knowledge, when he'd hear something new. And revelation's like, we need this God's truth to be revealed. Because these are things that we would never arrive at in the natural, right? Our logic would never lead us to spiritual truth. God had to break through and say, this is what truth is. Because you and I would never arrive there on our own. So, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see Him, or if we go to Him first, and we will know Jesus Christ fully at that time. Verse 14, as children of obedience, not conforming yourselves to the former cravings in your ignorance. So don't be like it was. Don't act like you were Jews. And this applies to everyone. When you were just relying and you were ignorant, and you were just going after the things that you craved. Have you ever heard that when your body wants something, it's probably because, or when you're hungry for certain things, probably because your body needs that thing. And I always thought, like, what about, like, I'm hungry for ho-hos. Like, what if I want ho-hos or, like, Twinkies? Does that mean, like, I need that? Like, my body needs that? No? Right before I die, instead of embalming me, I'll just eat like a couple boxes of Twinkies, like right before I go, and then that whole step would be eliminated. Okay, so don't be like that, the cravings when you were ignorant, but just as the one having called you is holy or set apart, you also become holy or set apart in all conduct, because it has been written, become holy because I am holy. So God says, be like me. I'm not like the world, okay? We've got this body. the unholy. And then over here, we have the minority that's holy. And we have God over there that's holy. And He defines it and displays what it is. He says, be like me. Don't run with the world. And if you are calling upon the Father, the one judging impartially, according to the work of each one, so our works will come before the Father, who is impartial. My mother won't be on the panel of judges who's pulling for me, right? Right or wrong. It's going to be the Father. He's impartial. He won't favor us when He weighs our works. Conduct yourselves in fear. And here's the Sojourn reference. Conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your sojourn. So conduct yourself in fear during the time, this short time, where you are pilgriming on the earth. The word for fear here is phobos, or phobos, and it's where we get the word phobia from. And it means be afraid. And I was thinking about, I think it was maybe two Sundays ago, in Luke 12:4, Timothy has been in the Diatessaron, and he talked about fear and the fear of God and what that is. In Luke 12:4, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. So, we walk, and this would actually tie into Corden's teaching on Sunday. So we walk in the fear and in the humility of God during our pilgrimage on the earth. We don't want to be on the list of things that God hates, right? We don't want to be walking proudly during our sojourn. Let's turn to that list in Proverbs chapter 6. We walk fearfully. We walk humbly. Proverbs 6:16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. So you can sign up for the fireworks list. You can be on the Christocentric Conference service list. But you don't want to be on this list. Okay? You don't want to be one of these that the Lord hates. Six, yea, seven things. A proud look. So He doesn't want you to walk around thinking in yourself, I'm here and experiencing what I am because of my doing. Because I have done it. I pulled myself up. I earned this. And I'm proud of it. This didn't come from God. I did it. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood when we kill the innocent. A heart that devises wicked plans. So we sit around and we're thinking of plans of how we can pull this thing off, this wicked thing, this wicked plan. And we're meditating on this. And it's not according to God. God hates this. Feet that are swift in running to evil. As soon as the authority figure leaves the picture, what do? I run to evil. As soon as the one who's watching me, who represents authority, is out of the picture, I gravitate to what I want to do. In the old man, that's who we are. And that's the story of the laboratory of the Garden of Eden. Where, put me in a room, or put me in a garden, by myself, and permit me to choose. Right? Good? Or evil? And what will I choose? In the old man, I will choose evil. That's the point. Is that you would have done that. I would have done that. Adam represented all of us when he did it. I don't think that I'm any better. I don't think that I'm any different than Adam. I don't think that I would have chose my way out of that situation. I don't think I would have chose correctly. And this is, you know, I think about this in relation to our salvation. And this is, you know, a reason why I would not be someone who could think that one could choose Christ on their own. That God didn't grant a person faith for salvation. Because put me in the garden, put Joe in the garden, put everybody in the garden, and set before them good and evil. And what is a human being going to choose? Evil. That's the point of the story. And that's why you and I can't save ourselves. That's why we would never choose God on our own. Because in Adam, that point was made at the beginning. That's why nobody's going to say, nobody's going to boast, right, in Ephesians 2 and say, this faith was of me. Because the Scripture says it was not of ourselves. It was the gift of God. And that's the point of Adam. So, back to feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. So, yeah, I saw that happen, and then he lies about it. Or he didn't see it happen, and he lies about it in his report. And one who sows discord among brethren. He said, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what she said? And it puts enmity between the people of God. So these are the things that God hates. We walk fearfully with humility, and as Corden mentioned on Sunday, put yourself low. Humility means putting yourself low. Like I don't think too much of myself. My dad and I talk about sports. It's something that we have in common. It's something that I know he likes. And so I initiate with him. And sometimes he'll say about this such and such sports figure, he'll just say, I think he might be a little fond of himself. Or he likes himself too much. And he'll just say quietly, he's not mad about it or anything, he says, I think that guy might be a little fond of himself. And that's the opposite of humility. That's putting yourself high, not putting yourself low. Alright, so don't be on the list. The opposite of fear would be courage or self-confidence. Let's look at one more verse in 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I am encouraging you as foreigners and sojourners to abstain from the cravings of the flesh, which are warring against the soul. So you've got this new man inside of you, and I want you to know, you're going to have these cravings. Be careful of what's in you. Be careful of what lives in you. You're going to have these cravings that war against your soul, that war against your mind, where the battle is, right? Everything springs from first what you think. How you think is going to come through your actions. It's going to come through what you're like inside and what you do on the outside. It begins in the mind. The battle is for the mind. Peter says, be careful. You're just here for a short time. Can't you put them off? Can't you just put them off for a short time? Can't you just lay them down while you're on the earth? They want to eat you. They want to go to war. They want to win. They're warring against your flesh. When I was we have a Bible study in Florida each year when I go down there. And my brother-in-law, it's been at his house the last couple of years. And I remember we were done with the study and there's always a Q&A time at the end. And he asked me this question after everything was over. And I could tell he was sincere when he asked it, but it was bothering him. It was something that was on his mind. It was weighty to him. So he said, I can't remember exactly how he asked it, but I know what the spirit of it was and what in the content. He said, okay, what does God want from us? Can you summarize, boil it down for me. What does he want from us? What's he want us to do or be like? And these verses came to me. The greatest commandment, someone came up to the Lord Jesus Christ, said, what's the highest commandment? What's the first commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Said, that's a good summary. And then I said, and then Micah 6:8, he's shown you, O man, what is good and what's required of you, what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so we walk fearfully during this short time. We walk humbly during this short time. We put off the cravings because we're just pilgrims. It's just a little while. We can put those off. We can suspend those. We can fight them off. All right, and then back in 1 Peter. To sojourners of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, this dispersion just means they were scattered among, these are Jews that he's writing to that are dispersed or scattered among these five. They'd be like provinces, okay? They weren't cities. They were areas of what is now like Turkey, that area of Asia. Verse 2, chosen according to the foreknowledge, and chosen means elect. You might have elect, I think is in the NKJ. Elect, chosen. God chose us according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in holiness of the Spirit for obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So this choosing or this election was in accord or in line with the foreknowledge or knowing beforehand of God the Father. And all He includes all members of the Godhead or Trinity in this second verse. So the election is according to the knowing beforehand of the Father. Okay? It's in holiness or in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience. Or in other words, the election, in the election, in the choosing part, the Holy Spirit does the setting apart work of you. Okay? So the Father made the choice, knowing beforehand. The Spirit is doing the setting apart. Why is He doing that? For obedience. The Spirit is the one that He left behind, and He said, this is your helper. Because we can look at God and say, these commandments that you gave, how are we going to do that? How am I going to be holy as you are holy, God? You gave me this commandment. Well, He says, this is the answer. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to help you be sanctified, to be holy and set apart, and to live this life that I called you to live. And then you've got Jesus Christ. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And remember, He's writing to Jews. So to a Jew, it's like, I no longer have to do this sacrifice thing where we take the blood of an animal and we cover my sin. This blood of Jesus Christ takes away sin. The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ in the election process, in the choosing process, is how I get forgiveness. It's His blood that purchased me from sin. Okay, and then the last part of verse 2, And this is how I'll end also, is may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So he's wishing grace and peace, and I wish that to be multiplied unto you. That's it.